chapter 1, verse 3. Yajasmin antare Brahman. Bhagavan Vishvabhavanaha. Kritavan Krute Kata. Pyati Te Nagate Java. Whatever activities, yasmin, in a particular age, antare, manvantara, brahman, O great brahmana, bhagavan, supreme personality of Godhead, Vishvabhavanaha, who has created this cosmic manifestation, kritavan, has done, kurute, is doing, karta, and will do, he, indeed, atite, in the past, anagate, in the future, aja, at the present, va, either. Translation, O learned Brahmana, kindly describe to us whatever activities the Supreme Personality of Godhead who created this cosmic manifestation has performed in the past manvantaras, is performing at present, and will perform in the future manvantaras. For a part in Bhagavad Gita, the Supreme Personality of God had said that both he and the living, other living entities present on the battlefield had existed in the past, they exist at present, and they would continue to exist in the future. Past, present, and future always exist, both for the Supreme Personality of God and for ordinary living entities. Nityo nityanam chaitanas chaitananam. Both the Lord and the living entities are eternal and sentient, but the difference is that the Lord is unlimited, whereas the living entities are limited. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is the creator of everything, and although the living entities are not created, but exist with the Lord eternally, their bodies are created. Whereas the Supreme Lord's body is never created. There is no difference between the Supreme Lord and his body, but the conditioned soul, although eternal, is different from his body. Text 4, Sukadeva Goswami said, in the present kalpa there have already been 6 manus I have described to you, Swayambhuva Manu and the appearance of many demigods. In this kalpa of Brahma, Swayambhuva is the first manu. Swayambhuva Manu had 2 daughters named Akuti and Devahuti. From their wombs, the Supreme Personality of God had appeared as 2 sons named Yajnamurti and Kapila, respectively. These sons were entrusted with preaching about religion and knowledge. Purport, Devahuti's son was known as Kapila, and Akuti's son was known as Yajnamurti. Both of them taught about religion and philosophical knowledge. So, this is a description now of the manus in this chapter. Actually, it's just a big long list of the manus and their descendants, and at the same time, the manvantara avatars are listed and other avatars within the manus' reign, because this was the request of Parikshit Maharaj. Please describe the manvantara periods, or the periods in which the manus reign. So it is a more or less a technical chapter, a list of different names of different personalities who preside over these different periods. So this particular verse is a request to describe how the Supreme Lord appears within these different manvantara periods. So as I mentioned, the Lord appears in the material world, and he appears in time. Material world and time, or kala, are inevitably intertwined. We cannot have material world without time. So, actually, time is being described as at one time the instigator, or kshobaka, that which causes disturbance, in the sense that the very first disturbance of prakriti, or matter in equilibrium, which is invisible, avyakta, the first disturbance is caused by time. And due to that disturbance, the gunas begin to change, and sattva guna becomes prominent. And then mahatattva appears from prakriti, which later transforms into rajagun, called sutra, and then tamagun, called ahankara. So prakriti takes three forms according to the guna, which is prominent. And once this starts, then the it is no longer peaceful. The prakriti has become disturbed. And that is agitated by time. Kshobaka is the kshobaka, or agitator. So that is one description of time. The other description of time is that it has all sorts of divisions. And that is also described in the third canto of Bhagavatam. So we measure time in terms of little seconds and quarter seconds and nanoseconds or whatever. And these are described in the Bhagavatam also as the time it takes the sun to pass over one little atom. That's the smallest time limit. So in other words, a very small degree of time in which the sun apparently moves. So that's the smallest one. And then we get bigger ones and bigger ones until we get hours, and then we get days, and then we get months, and then we get years. And then we get yugas, and then we get yuga cycles of 4,300,000 years. And then we get 1,000 of those yuga cycles, which make one day of Brahma. And then we get a similar night. And then all that adds up to 30 days in the month and 12 months in the year, and we get a year of Brahma. And then 100 years of Brahma is equal one lifetime of a universe. Yeah? So half a lifetime is called a pararda. 50 years of Brahma's life is a pararda. And we got two of those parardas, that makes the whole of Brahma's life. And what happens after that? Everything is destroyed completely. Everything disappears. Everything becomes prakriti only. There's no earth, water, air, fire, ether, material elements, nothing. However, prakriti exists. What else exists? Time. So prakriti is there, time is there. Also along with that is karma. Karma is not destroyed. It does not affect the jiva during this destruction state, but it is there. And when creation takes place, again, karma attaches itself to all the jivas and they operate again. So in a state of equilibrium, we have prakriti, which is unmanifest, doing nothing, invisible. We have time and karma sitting there, but actually imperceptible. Time, in other words, is not like a material element. Prakriti is material substance. Time goes along with the material elements, but it is not a substance. We cannot give it any particular form. We simply perceive it in terms of past, present, and future. So this is called the subtle aspect of Maya. The gross aspect of Maya is matter, prakriti, and then we get earth, water, fire, air, ether, senses, mind, intelligence, etc. That's the gross part. Subtle part of Maya is time, karma, action, ability to act and do actions. This is all subtle aspect, which isn't material at all in one sense, but it is Maya. It is part of the material world. So, when the world is in prakriti is in equilibrium and nothing exists except prakriti sitting there, time is there, karma is waiting for the jivas, and jiva is sleeping. So that's the initial state of everything, where no universe exists. And then, due to the agitation of time, the jiva enters into prakriti, and we get the agitation of prakriti to produce sattva, mahatattva, and then sutra, and then ahankara, and this starts the whole process of creation of universes again. So once the universes are created, then we have measurements of time. Yeah? So with big time is Brahma's lifetime. That's the big time. And then we have his months and his years, etc. And then we get down to his days. So when we get to the days of Brahma, then we get these divisions called Manvantara periods. 14 divisions in a day of Brahma, just like we all have 12 hours in the daylight period, or a little more probably, in the summertime. And we maybe get 14 hours also in daylight time. And then after that we have nighttime. So Brahma has 14 Manvantara periods, consisting of 1,000 yuga cycles of 4,300,000 years each. So 1/14 of 1,000 is equal to about 71. So each manu reigns for 71 yuga cycles, which is a very long time. And in that time, he appears and rules, then his descendants begin to rule over the Bharat Varsha and other places. And they institute Dharma. That is their particular purpose, to bring order to the human beings, to rule them according to the laws of Dharma. Yeah. So they exist in this period. And then in this period also, the Supreme Lord personally appears. So he appears in many different forms. In one form, he appears as the Manvantara avatar, and he presides over the whole 71 yuga cycles. So he doesn't just appear and disappear like Nishimadev or Krishna. Krishna stayed for 125 years, then he disappears. Manvantara avatar goes on for 71 yuga cycles, 71 times 4,300,000 years. That's how long the Manvantara avatara stays around on the world. Of course, he may not be visible to us. So our present Manvantara avatar is Vamanadev. So he's present. He didn't disappear. But he's not here on earth. He's down in Sutala Loka, a different place. And he's sitting down there. And he'll sit there until end of this Vaivasvata Manvantara period, when the 71 yuga cycles are up. So he presides there with his devotees. So besides that Manvantara avatar, then within the avatar Manu's period, we have other avatars. Usually these are called the Lila avatars. So in the third verse, this was described that Kapila appeared and Yajnamurti appeared. Yajna actually is the Manvantara avatar. So he presides over Swayambhuva's reign. And Kapila, he appeared as the son of Devahuti. And he is basically a sage who gives knowledge. So both of them appeared in Swayambhuva Manvantara period. So Swayambhuva was the first, he is the first Manu to appear in the day of Brahma, and he has his 71 yuga cycles. So that means when Brahma awakes in the morning, and that is the waters which cover the universe go down again, then Brahma has to recreate all the planetary systems and put all the living entities in their positions. And then this is when Swayambhuva appears for 71 yuga cycles. So this is the early morning after sunrise, so to speak. The first hour of Brahma's day. So that is Swayambhuva's reign. And in that time, we have many avatars appearing. As we see here, Yajna appeared as a Manvantara avatar. Kapila is a Lila avatar. We get Narayan appearing. We get Matsya appearing. Varaha appears. Hayagriva appears. Many, many other avatars appear in this time. Of course, at the very beginning of Brahma's life, Narada Muni and Sanat Kumar also appear in Swayambhuva Manvantara. We have many, many forms of the Lord appearing. So in this way, in these times, that is the Manvantara periods, the Lord continually makes his appearance. So in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, I appear yuga after yuga. So the most constant one is the yuga avatar. Every yuga of every Manvantara period, that is 71 yuga cycles are there, and each cycle has four yugas in it. So the Lord appears four times, 71 times in one Manvantara period as a yuga avatar. So that's the most plentiful avatar, we can say. Every yuga he appears in different forms. So these forms are known by their color and their particular duty. So the Satyuga avatar is called Sukla. He is white and he teaches meditation on Vishnu. Treta Yuga avatar is red and he teaches Homa, sacrifices. The Dvapara Yuga avatar, of course it was Krishna in the last yuga, but actually usually it's not Krishna. It's another form, and he's actually considered to be green, a green avatar. And he teaches deity worship, archana, or paricharya. And then the Kali Yuga avatar, he appears, and he is Shama, blackish in color. Now we have an exception in our particular yuga cycle, in that the two last ones, the Dwarpa Yuga avatar and the Kali Yuga avatar, are actually not the regular ones, because we have Krishna appearing in Dwarpa Yuga and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appearing in Kali Yuga. So we have a black avatar, Krishna, and we have golden avatar, yellow avatar, in the form of Lord Chaitanya. So they are exceptional cases in the day of Brahma, one time in the day of Brahma. Otherwise, they're the regular avatar with the regular color of green and blackish. And in Kali Yuga, the avatar teaches Sankirtan. So 1,000 times in the day of Brahma, there's a Kali Yuga, and 1,000 times a Yuga avatar appears in Kali Yuga, and he teaches Sankirtan, chanting of the holy name, as the process for the people of Kali Yuga. So in this way, the Yuga avatars are the most plentiful type of avatar. And then we have, sometimes in different Manvantara periods, the Lila avatars appearing. As I mentioned yesterday, many appear in Swayambhuva's period, the first period. Many appear in Chakshusha Manvantara, that is the sixth Manu's reign. We have Nishramadev, Danvantari, Kurma, Ajita, Mohini appearing in those. And then we have Vaivasvata Manvantara, our present period. And there we have Krishna and Balaram and Vedavyas, and Buddha and Kalki. So these are the Lila avatars, which appear regularly within the Manvantara periods. And then we have the Manvantara avatars, who last for the whole period of the Manu's reign. So up until noontime, we have discussion in the Bhagavatam, and then ultimately ninth canto, everything is goes on, and then finally we end up with Krishna's dynasty and then Krishna appearing, and then 10th canto is all about Krishna. After that, a description of what happened after Krishna and the decline of the disappearance of the Manu's reign, etc., and Kali Yuga disturbances. However, again, at the end of the next Satya Yuga, the descendant of Manu makes his appearance again. And again, we have the Dharma established in Satya Yuga that goes on towards Kali Yuga again, like that. All throughout the reign of Vaivasvata Manu. Then we have the 8th Manvantara, 9th, 10th, 11th, 12th, 13th, 14th. That's the last part of the day of Brahma, after us. So for that also, future Manvantara periods are there with Manus. So those will be listed, the different manus, for the last part of the day of Brahma, after Vivaswata, the son of Vivaswan, disappears. And along with that, we have the Manvantara avatars that go with them. So we have the manus with their Manvantara periods, and we have the Manvantara avatars also listed. It doesn't mention any Leela avatars at that time. But then what we do have is the Yuga avatars. They keep appearing again and again and again throughout the day of Brahma. So this is all described to make a regular pattern so we can understand when the different forms of the Lord appear. If it is simply stated in scripture, Rama appeared, then we don't know when he appeared. Did he appear 100 years ago, 500 years ago, 2,000 years ago, 5,000 years ago? Which yuga did he appear in? Which cycle did he appear in? Which Manvantara period did he appear in? We don't know. So it has to be listed. So therefore the scriptures list everything. So it is said that Rama appears in Vivaswata Manvantara, 24th cycle of yugas. We're in 28th cycle. That means maybe 17 million years ago is Rama's appearance. 17 million years ago. Some people think he was Treta Yuga. No, that's only less than a million years ago. But no, it's like 17 million years ago. Four yuga cycles previously is Rama's appearance. So the question will always arise, well, 17 million years ago, human beings didn't exist. Because that's what you're told in school. And you're giving the little chart with the evolution and when man appeared, which was, I don't know how many, 100,000 years ago maybe, man appeared or something like that. And they discovered the first human skeleton or something is so-and-so in Africa or something like that. So then we say, 16 million years ago, how is that possible? How is it possible? What existed 16 million years ago? Difficult for, according to the modern concept of evolution and whatever, earth and geology, etc., how to correlate all of this, how people can exist in previous ages, what to speak of another Manvantara period. Yeah? So Nrsimhadev appeared in how many millions and millions and millions of years ago? Yeah? More than 30 cycles previously. 120 million years ago. That was when Nrsimhadev appeared. Hiranyakasipu was there, Prahlad was there, etc. So very difficult for us to conceive of how they existed when, according to modern records, they say that, you know, human beings only being alive for a short, around for a short period of time. Before that, there was no human beings, etc. This is the a bigger concept of life than presently we have in the modern science presentation of evolution, etc. And according to this, there is no evolution of species in the normal sense that there was nothing and then there were little small creatures were there, little bacteria, and they mutated and they made bigger bacteria and then they made bigger forms and bigger forms. Then we get plants and then we get animals and finally we get human beings. That is not the how evolution takes place, which is by chance. In this form, it is the Supreme Lord's plan to have all these different animals and plants and living entities, etc. And they will be created, and they will also be destroyed. Everything. So this is going to go on forever. Everything gets destroyed finally. But then it gets created again. And it's not chance that it just happens. The Lord wills it to happen. These certain forms will appear. And they keep appearing and disappearing. So we have constant creation, destruction, happening on different levels. The big one is Brahma's lifetime, 100 years of Brahma. Next one is Brahma's day. 1,000 times 4,300,000. that's one, a big destruction takes place then. But then we have another destruction that takes place after 71 yuga cycles again. 71 times 4 million years, we have destruction. And then we have within that, we have the destruction at the end of Kali Yuga, 4 million years destruction. So we have continuing the creation, destruction going on. And this more or less corresponds, if we look at the geology of the earth, we see that there's periodic creation, destruction going on. More or less corresponds to these periods of Manus, where we get huge destructions taking place after millions and millions of years. So I think Sariputta actually correlated the destructions after the Manus period with geological changes on the earth also, every so often like that, 71 times 4 million years or whatever years, periodic destruction. So the big difference, of course, is in the fact that during all this period, we have the pastimes of the devotees and the Supreme Lord, etc., going on earth, where according to science, nothing was there except maybe a few primitive plants and crawly things in the ocean or something, and then finally they evolved recently into higher forms of life. But that's modern science. According to Bhagavad, no, they're all there all the time. Everything is there all the time, and they're continually created and destroyed, etc. So that is the Bhagavad history of things. So we start here with the beginning of the day of Brahma, with Swayambhuva's reign. Swayambhuva and his wife, and then they have descendants appearing. Yeah. So that is what, 71 times 4 million years ago. That is the beginning of Swayambhuva's reign. So people were existing there and they had their kingdoms, etc. So this is when Dhruva appeared. This is when Dhruva appeared. So he appeared very, very early. That's billions of years ago, we can say. And not only Dhruva, many other great personalities appeared in that time. This all of this is mentioned here to show the regularity. And the regularity of creation, destruction, and all the different species and everything happening is the plan of the Supreme Lord. And within that plan, there is a plan for deliverance of the jivas, of the human beings. And therefore, the Lord points Manus to establish Dharma. And he comes as avatar. He comes as Yuga avatars, Leela avatars, Manvantara avatars, to inspire the people to take to worship and bhakti. So this is the plan of the Supreme Lord to deliver the jivas in the material world. Those who are fortunate will listen to the teachings of the Lord. Those who choose not to will continue to take birth and death in the material world throughout the day of Brahma, throughout the lifetime of Brahma. But within all this, the Lord is constantly making efforts to deliver the jivas. So therefore, constantly there is available knowledge through the Manus and their descendants, through the avatars, through the Yuga avatars, through the devotees who carry on the teachings of the avatars, etc. So throughout the day of Brahma, we have opportunities for everyone to advance in spiritual life. So the Lord does not abandon anybody. That is the ultimate purpose of the whole creation, to enlighten the jivas. That's all. And it happens in cycles like this. Nothing. The water rises up to Svargaloka, and then all the jivas merge into Brahma. And Brahma merges into Mahavishnu. Oh, no, into Garbhadakshay Vishnu. And everybody sleeps. At nighttime, nothing. Nobody's there. Even Brahma is not there. Brahma merges into Garbhadakshay Vishnu. And then he comes out, next day. it mentioned that Narada Muni also merged into Vishnu in the nighttime. Yeah? Then he came out, comes out the next day. So everybody sleeps in the nighttime. Nothing's there. No, they don't exist. No. They only start with Swayambhuva Manvantara in the daytime. Yeah, as long as it's always there, it is eternal. Like Prakriti is eternal. No, it's not made of anything because it is not material. It is not substance like Prakriti. Prakriti is substance in subtle form. Yeah. That's all we can do. We can measure it, but we don't know what it is. Huh? Even science doesn't know what it is. Huh? It's used in scientific formulas like speed of light is determined in terms of time, and that's E equals MC squared. So it exists, and it does have a force, but it cannot really be defined what it is because it doesn't have any mass. So there's no substance to it. And even our appearance of past, present, future, that is relative to our perception only. Yeah? So time, we can't understand what it is. Is it just a perception? No, because it has a force when we combine it into speed and light and things like that. Then it has huge force, but it's not really, it doesn't have any mass to it, so we don't know what it is. Oh, that is it's kind of relative. Different cultures maybe have different divisions. I think some societies only have 4 days in their week even. So it depends. But I think also in the European system, they evolve 7 days. Huh? And the Greeks also seven, I suppose, based on the planets again. Of seven planets, minus Rahu and Ketu or whatever. So they also name the planet the days after the month, like a Sunday for Sun, Moon for Monday, Tuesday for Mars, Wednesday for Buddha, yeah, Budvar. Thursday is Jupiter, and Friday is Venus. So they have, it's based on planets actually, and it's been there in the, I think the Greeks and the Romans, etc., also had the same system. Babylonians had the same system. So probably ultimately came from India originally. As for 24 hours, there's different systems. India didn't have a 24-hour system, there's 60 dandas, 60 divisions, yeah? And then you have things like praharas and so many other divisions, so many muhurtas, dandas, all this. So the divisions were different in terms of 60s, actually. Not 12 hours, 12 hours, 24 hours like that. And they didn't have minutes. They have lavas and things like matras, lavas and things like this, with smaller and smaller units also. Well, we can say it is external to Krishna. It is certainly exists, and it's not the Sarup Shakti of Krishna. It's not spiritual. It is part of Maya, Bahiranga Shakti. But it's not a substance. So even in terms of Vedic science, it's a little bit ambiguous, or it's a little bit, it can't be defined so accurately as matter itself with its components, etc. It's not an element. There is Kala, yeah, there is a person, a deity, a Kala also. Often associated with Yamaraj, of course, but sometimes there's a Kala also, and another Kala Shakti or whatever, a female form, I think it is. Well, we say that there's a rotating also, like a chakra, whichever. That's because the sun is rotating in the sky, and we have the Jyotish chakra, which is also the Kala chakra, whatever. Yeah, certainly it is always moving in the sense that we have past, present, future. And you never stop time. That's our perception in the material world, but what it actually is, nobody knows. it continually exists. That's all. It's eternal. Well, of course, jivas are eternal also. Prakriti is also eternal. Supreme Lord's eternal. They're all eternal. Huh? Time is still there. Like Prakriti is still there after pralaya also. It doesn't disappear. It's there. Huh? Yeah. Day and night of Brahma is determined simply by the time factor and the destruction of the planetary systems, that's all. After which, we do have the sun in the sense that the sun exists on a certain level in the universe, in the Svarga sphere, and the water rises up above Svarga Loka, so there's no more sun even. So it becomes dark also. And everything is destroyed, and so there is no sun in the after the dissolution at the end of the day of Brahma in the nighttime. Map out? Huh? Manos, I don't know, something maybe.